hard part about being a Christian is realizing that your life is about suffering. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good Friday morning or whenever you happen to be tuning in. Last week, we were in Romans 8, 12 through 17. And today, we're going to look at that a little bit more, but mainly focus on verse 18. Romans 8, 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." The hard part about being a Christian is realizing that your life is about suffering. If we are called to be Christ-like, then we are called to suffer like Christ. We are called to die to ourselves and to our own will and follow God's will. Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying and crying out with tears and eager longing, says, "Father, not my will, but let your will be done." In the garden, he's facing the reality of having to face the wrath of God through the scourging by the Romans and the crucifixion and the weight of sin being placed upon his shoulders. When I ran cross country, one of the common sayings, I'm sure with many other sports, was "no pain, no gain." Well, the way Christ lived was all the pain for all the gain. We have never experienced, nor will we ever experience as Christians, the suffering that Christ went through on the cross. We look at the cross and see all of the physical drain of blood dripping out of every spot on your body, and we wince and groan. But we forget that not only was there an immense physical suffering, but the power of the cross was achieved through the separation of God from his beloved Son. The weight of sin was laid on his heart. And that is the true tragedy of the cross. The outward ripping of flesh and the driving of nails through tendons and veins was just the expression of what was happening to his soul. Being ripped from the Father's loving embrace so that he might descend into death to pull us from death to life. That was the true suffering. There's no suffering greater than that. And if we are in Christ, we will truly be saved from that. We will never suffer as much as he did. That is why Paul calls us in Romans 8, 12 through 18 to suffer. If we do not have a taste of the suffering of the dying of the flesh, we will not taste the life in Christ. If we do not love God and his Son more than we love this world, we have not been born again. If we live according to the flesh, we will die, verse 13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In your walk as a Christian, you're living out a little piece of the gospel. You're dying to sin and the flesh so that you might live, just as Christ killed all sin and death in himself so that we might have life in his name. And we consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Christ did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. He did know what was more important. He knew that life with the Father is far more important and glorious and wonderful and fulfilling than anything he could have hoped for in the comforts of earth. If Christ had avoided the cross, he would not have laid hold of the glory, being crowned the King of heaven and receiving to himself a great number of sinners to praise his name for all eternity. In the way that Christ considered the cross a means to the end of glory, we too should consider dying to ourselves as a means to the end of God's glory. He provides both the way and the model for us to live our lives. If he hadn't died and actually really died on the cross, we would not have the power of the Spirit dwelling within us and the reconciliation to God for new life. And if we didn't have the picture of how we are supposed to live in the cross and the death of our sin, we could not pursue it. We could not find joy in God. So he both allows us to live and breathes new life into us, and he shows us how to live. In Romans 8, 12 through 18, Christ isn't just the gasoline that we pour into our car. He isn't the car itself. He's the gas, the car, and the driver. He is the vehicle in which we come to God. He is the power by which we can come to God, and he knows the way. He holds the map. He is the entire picture and means by which we come to heaven. What this involves is us eating a little humble pie. We cannot pretend that we aren't stuck on the side of the road in the middle of a desert, Death Valley, with a bicycle with two flat tires and no water. The buzzards are circling overhead, and we are insisting that we are going to make it. Realizing that you are this dead is the first step to finding life in his name. Verse 18 again, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." Let's name a couple of these sufferings. The first suffering we've already talked about, dying to ourself. That's a hard one to grasp. What does that mean? Well, for our day, it means simply making choices that show that we actually love God more than our own skin. It means turning to his word rather than listening to the world. It means living life according to God's law rather than the way of men. And these aren't hard choices. The problem with us today is we have way too many distractions. We don't have any true suffering. It's much easier to just be comfortable. And for that, we have a hard time suffering for God's sake. The original audience really didn't have to worry about comfort. But lest you be jealous of them and their lowly estate and the ease in which they could find Christ, remember that they were facing death in the Colosseum, being eaten alive by lions, or being a human torch so that the others could be seen being eaten by lions. They were made to fight gladiators, or they were forced to hide in caves in the mountains. The way in which Christians have suffered may have changed in shape over the years, but the call is still the same. You are not the center of the universe. You must look to me, says God. We must cry out to him as Father. We must take our cues from him and his word. We must look to him for strength. This suffering might mean giving up simple comforts so that you can focus more on God. Or it might mean dying at the stake. It also might mean realizing that you might have to live next to someone who you don't like, who happens to have the same Spirit of God dwelling in them. No matter what suffering God is calling you to, be it large or small, you should count it as a grace that God has deemed you worthy to suffer. He deemed Christ worthy to suffer, his own Son, because he was going to crown him with glory and honor and majesty for all the rest of time. Psalm 110:1 says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Jesus submitted himself to God so that glory and honor would be his. We should submit ourselves to the suffering of Christ in all aspects of our life for Christ's sake, so that the world might see him as glorious because of what he has done for us. Remember, Christ's crown of thorns that was driven deep into his brow became the crown of the King of Heaven. And he is sitting at the Father's right hand, ruling in justice and peace, and will be praised forever. Seek the suffering of Christ in his cross, so that you might die to this world and be made alive to the eternal power that gives joy everlasting. Father, it is hard for us to give up all of our comforts and our trinkets and our goals and our ambitions. But we must remember that the greatest act ever done on earth and in the eyes of heaven was the most shameful thing in the eyes of men, to be killed and hung naked on a tree, lifted up to reviling eyes and tongues. And yet in all of that, you achieved salvation for those same sinners that would glorify you for the rest of all time. Help us to seek comfort in suffering and joy in the sorrow that you faced. Let not these brief but often very painful sufferings distract us or even compare to what we know we will find when we see you in glory. Let all that we have be the message of your Son, which gives life to a dying world. Amen.